Calling all benders and non-benders alike. Jump into the epic world of Avatar with your favorite podcast, Avatar Braving the Elements. Hosted by me, Janet Varney.
And me, Dante Bosco. Each week we'll recap and discuss a new episode.
So come join us and our amazing guests, from creators to cast to superfans, to chat about all things Avatarverse.
It's Fire Nation time. Book of Fire. Let's go. Listen to Avatar Braving the Elements
wherever you get your podcasts.
Witches three gather in the wild, weird woods once again this dark, dark evening. There's a moon in the sky. Is it a half moon, a full moon, or just a tiny sliver of the moon? Look up and judge. But before you look up, grab your black trash bag and cut a couple holes in it for your arms and head
God,
to go out.
What?
And then put on that little toque, that little hipster Williamsburg, Brooklyn-looking hat, and it's time for us to be wicked.
A toque?
And it's very cold. It's cold in the woods, so you want to wear a little beanie.
You're
something to keep
of a
just
toque.
The very that's top a, of your head cold warm.
That's a Lord of the Rings or Hobbit or Cimmerillion reference. One of those three. I'm not sure which one.
Hey, excuse me, loser. Don't reference the Silmarillion. Nobody knows what you mean, dork.
Well, all right. Well, here's the other thing. You're talking about the garbage bag. That makes sense because all of your references are trash.
Wow, okay. Oh! Now this is just getting nasty. I thought we were going to do some spells. Now you're just being mean.
No, more like we're going to do some smells because of your trash bag. That's what I'm saying.
These are clean bags. These are fresh bags.
And sure, there's a little trash in a couple. You know the other thing I'm saying over here? I'm saying, welcome to a chilling podcast of Sabrina. Woo! I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I'm Pete.
And we are going to be recapping Chapter 27, The Judas Kiss from Sabrina Part 3. Oh my God, this is the second to last episode. So many things. So many things happened in this episode.
So many things.
I got to tell you what. This episode stressed me out. Like, the amount of spiraling insanity
it's
that happened.
It's the worst episode.
Whoa. That is definitely not what I meant, because I thought this
great
was
episode.
Great.
Yes.
Nope. Like, the way that this ended, the way that everything went,
nope,
blew me away.
Yeah, it was like if you were hitting a piñata, and there were just like 15 other piñatas inside the one piñata. And then there, inside that last one,
no,
there was something like a bunch of bees or something.
No. It was like, it's like, hey, let's see all of our favorite characters die or make shitty choices.
That's not a metaphor. I was using
TV
a metaphor. And so what is it like, though?
That's what it's like.
That's what it is. That's what it is. It's not what it's yeah. like. That's what
no,
it is.
No. It's like it's a metaphor for like all your favorite characters dying.
Okay.
You know, you get it.
Yeah. Maybe that's a simile.
Yeah. So I got to tell you, I was so thrown by this episode, I didn't even write down a recap. I just started taking notes. But
I think we
should do it anyway. I think we should get into it. Like, do
a
bunch
let's
of recap
do it live.
Because like...
Nope.
So much
no
is
time.
Going on.
No
it's
time.
Funny that you. It's funny that you didn't do a recap. Sabrina literally does a recap in the middle of this episode.
I think that's the reason I forgot, because the last two episodes, characters keep walking up to each other, but like, what parts of Chilling Adventures of Sabrina have you seen so far? Yeah. Oh, you missed this scene and this scene. Okay, I'll just let you know what's going on.
Yeah.
I mean, the short version of it is that everything is going wrong in Greendale. Pagans have invaded. They want to resurrect their green god. They are trying to kill off the witches of the coven. At the same time, Sabrina is on a treasure hunt for three unholy regalia in order to gain control of hell. Caliban, a man who is made out of sand, but like not quite
clay.
As fine grains and wetter is the way that I would describe him, is challenging her to
stop
that.
Stop recapping. You said you were going to recap. Let's go.
I lied. I just
you
wanted to get
you. Asshole. Stop recapping.
You recap.
Let's talk
There's
about
too much
what
going
happened.
On.
You're making this go longer. I just wanted to get you on board.
All right,
and doing
so Zelda is shot. That's where it starts off.
Wow.
I'm going to talk over
no,
you.
Hold
if you're
on.
Gonna
where
be a
do you
talk over
what
all
is
you
going on? every time we do a podcast, you literally would like to be anywhere else doing anything else. And you're like, let me get through this. This is physically painful for me, Pete.
Sabrina is a comic book character. And that was developed into a television show.
A what book? Is that like a wordy word book, or is there something different about it?
No, it's like almost like a TV show, but in on paper.
Well, clearly you guys don't need me here, so I'm
out. You should start with The Yellow Kid, the first
now that's the first comic.
I should also mention we're doing this over video on Skype, and Pete literally turned away and almost walked away just now. So I would say let's actually jump into this because we have laid down the broad strokes of everything that's going on. As Pete mentioned, we left on an amazingly insane cliffhanger at the end of the last episode where Zelda, Aunt Zelda, Sabrina's Aunt Zelda, but got shot from a gun by Miss Wardwell. Hilda was lying in a cane pit that should resurrect her, but she hadn't come out yet. And we start off right there with Sabrina and Ambrose running to Zelda, at which point Madame Mambo, who's the voodoo priestess, pulls out a bullet. Very straightforward. Surgical.
Not a lot of magic there.
No, absolutely not. But then she explains, oh, okay, now that I pulled out the bullet, she's lost between the land of the dead and the living. To which Sabrina's like, you mean limbo, right? Just so everybody understands. And she's like, yeah, but, you know, I call it different things.
Yeah, everyone's got different names.
Different words for different things, you know.
Exactly, yeah. That's cool.
Yeah, it is cool. Then she says they're going to burn a violet candle to help her find her way back. And then they hear some wailing outside. And this, to me, this is going to be a crazy thing. This, to me, was one of the craziest things of the episode.
What are you talking about?
I can explain.
The Banshee Lady is the craziest thing in the episode?
It was very stressful.
Harvey got eaten by a plant. All right?
Pete.
He was hanging in the air, and a plant started to eat him. And you think a Banshee woman is the craziest thing?
The reason it was the craziest thing to me was because during the episode, there's all of these
Sabrina
things.
Sabrina got turned into some kind of tombstone thing.
But all of these, follow the plot.
You've heard of banshees. You've heard of them before.
The reason the banshee thing was crazy to me because it was like, and also there's a banshee.
Vlad the Impaler showed up in this fucking episode. Are you kidding me?
Wow, Pete, this TV show has got you flipped. Yeah. You're lit, dude.
And it's crazy that this is the last episode ever.
Yeah, of this our podcast. How, yes, that's probably true.
We're done. I think Pete, again, Skype video, but somehow, like, I could sort of see the membrane of my computer is bending as Pete reaches through to strangle me right now. I don't know how he's doing it. It's some sort of like Wes Craven Nightmare on Elm Street kind of thing going on. Anyway, so Banshee, which we all agree is crazy.
Yeah, Pete's a Skype warrior instead of a dream warrior.
He's a Skype warrior.
I got to say, I agree with you, Alex. This Banshee was, like, fucked up, and it was stressful. Pete, imagine having someone just screaming at you from across the street.
The Banshee literally did nothing the whole episode.
This is why it was the craziest thing to me. Everything else follows up on the plot and what was happening. And then it was like, oh, I don't know if you forgot, there's a Banshee screaming outside.
It's a bad omen.
There's no time for the fucking Banshee. There's so many things happening. It's insane to me that both of you guys are like, yeah, with all the murders going on and all the crazy shit happening, that Banshee in the background not doing anything nor saying anything really affected how things happened.
I'd love to see a spinoff of just the Banshee screaming in different places.
Do you know what? They could bring the Banshee to other Netflix shows.
That would be great. Whenever
I would love to
happened.
See, I don't know if you guys have watched The Circle. It would be great to have the Banshee as a contestant on The Circle.
No, the Banshee would be perfect at the end of Nailed It when someone makes a really shitty cake.
They'd be like, ooh, you messed up that cake and a member of your family is gonna die. That was my Nicole Byer impression.
That's great, great Nicole Byer.
Thank
great
you.
Nicole.
Just trying to mainly hit the intonation. So anyway, we did mention Lucifer last episode was bonded with Father Blackwood. However, Madam Satan, in order to not be killed by Lucifer, performed a separation ritual. And as we find out, it worked. Lucifer was separated. Blackwood now has the mark of Cain, which is going to protect him. And she is pregnant with Lucifer's son.
What? That's a hell of a move right there.
Yeah, that is a big move. Also, babies, you don't know that quickly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, he was down for like 15 minutes. She was like, hey, quick, have sex with me, and then I'll just say we're pregnant.
They did some witch stuff.
I'll tell you what, I watched Midsommar over the weekend. Have you guys seen Midsommar?
Yes.
Very similar, very quick pregnancy where it's like, I don't think you know that quickly. Wow. I don't know. You just had sex. It takes a little longer than that.
Nah, you can tell.
Yeah. Yeah?
I can tell.
You can tell?
I can tell, yep. Dell, anytime. Let's not go into it. Pete, you must have been happy that with all this death, at least there's one new character going to be born soon.
Oh, yeah, sure. That's a good point.
The son of Madam Satan and regular Satan.
Right. What do you think they should name the baby, Pete? Pete?
Regular Satan.
Regular Satan.
Yeah. Satan Jr. SJ.
I'm Lucifer. This is my wife. Lilla. I think this is our baby, regular Satan.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. That's
or
great.
Or call him Junior Mint.
By the way, thank you again so much, Pete, for naming my children regular Alex and smaller regular Alex. Those were great choices.
I can't believe you gave your naming rights away to Pete.
I mean, he won that contest. It was
that radio call-in show.
It was a literal pissing contest. Back to the pagans, or first time in this episode to the pagans. Carcosa, who is Pan, the great god Pan, is super pissed because the great flowering is almost upon them, at which point Blackwood walks in and he makes an alliance with them, which is pretty messed up and pretty bad. He reveals he can't be killed, and he wants to kill all of the witches in the Church of Night, mainly because he wants to find something very specific, which I don't think is revealed this episode.
Well, yeah, but I think it's clearly the time egg, because that's what he was going after when he was the bearded madman.
You don't think it's the banshee? Maybe he wants the banshee?
Yeah, he wants to date the banshee.
Yeah.
No. It's definitely the time egg. He murdered that merman because of it.
I also love one other thing that I like about this episode. It happens later on, and I think I marked down with character. So they very briefly name the Gorgon Lady for the first time in the seventh episode. Her name is like Nagina or something like that.
Nagina.
It's not Nagina. It's not Nagini from Harry Potter, but it's Nagina. Right. And then they also very casually mention that the Lord of Hell, who has been screaming at everybody for the past seven episodes, is Beelzebub. Which I think it's so hilarious that there are so many things going on the show they haven't gotten around to mentioning the characters' names.
Especially Beelzebub, that's the name. We know that name. That's a heavy hitter.
That's a famous name.
You could have done that in the first episode. He could be like, I'm Beelzebub, nice to meet you.
Cut for time.
No time. Cut it out.
No time. And then we get a big revelation from Robin. Robin is formerly a member of the Pagans. He is now dating Theo. They're very sweet and cute together.
Shout out to John on our Patreon for calling their ship name Throbbin.
Oh, yeah. That was real good. I was briefly creeped out, and then I respected it.
Exactly.
So Throbbin.
Yeah, they're so great together. I hope that continues.
Now, the thing that Robin reveals is that he's a hobgoblin, which means his ability is he could run really fast, which immediately comes to bear later on in the episode. And they decide to do it so that Theo isn't a virgin anymore, so that Theo smart. Can't be sacrificed. It is very smart. Doesn't really pan out very well for Theo or Robin. But
yeah, true. But that's how I lost my virginity as well. Just trying to dodge that green man.
Oh, not to a hobgoblin?
There was a hobgoblin there.
Okay, I lost my virginity to the hobgoblin from Spider-Man comics.
Yeah, classic.
Yeah, I threw a couple of pumpkin bombs in there. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Oh, man. That's a
pinky
dangerous.
Finger right there.
Yep. So meanwhile, while they're trying to do it, a classic Archieverse doing it montage where everybody's doing it at the same time. Harvey and Roz also trying to seal that deal, but then she has a site called The Cunning, and she has visions of previously on Chilling Adventures of Sabrina scenes where Harvey and Sabrina were getting hot and heavy. And I really like how this scene played out. And the reason I like it is because Roz was open and honest with Harvey saying, ugh, this is the worst time for this. Do you have feelings with Sabrina? I just need to know. I hate having the cutting because I know this stuff. Just be honest with me. And it really felt like she did actually want him to be honest here.
I don't know. I felt like he was being honest. I mean, over the course of this episode, there's a couple confrontations where he's like, I love Roz.
Right.
Do you believe him?
I do believe him. I think he might not. He's not really kind of acknowledging or thinking about his love that he has for Sabrina, but he's telling himself, or he's trying to tell himself, that he does love Roz. And I think that part of him does.
I agree with Pete here. I think he does love Roz, but I think in the span of the show, we're meant to know / think that Harvey and Sabrina are each other's true love.
Yeah, I think they're gonna exchange virginities
with each other.
Isn't that how that works? You go to a virginity exchange. You say, "I'd like to exchange this virginity."
That's called Sweden.
Oh,
wow! I don't know exactly what you mean by that, but I'm curious to find out.
Again, I watched Midsummer this weekend, so a lot of stuff going on in my head. There's also a very funny line. They tried to do this Pygmalion spell last episode, which meant that Harvey kissed Roz, his true love. It didn't work. And he very casually says to her, I don't care about that stupid Pythagoras spell. And she's like, wait, what are you talking about?
Such a weird joke.
I was like, Harvey, don't bring that up. This is it's not going to help your case.
Then we jump back to hell. Lucifer kills one of the lords of hell. Caliban introduces himself and says, I'm a prince of hell. And Lucifer is like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah, exactly.
And he sets up the stakes of what's going on. He says, we've already done 2/3 of the challenge as prophesied by Lilith the first time they did the challenge. We need to make it to all the end. Not even you, Lucifer Morningstar, can stop that. And he's like, ooh, hell bureaucracy.
That doesn't seem real to me. If you're actually, you know, Satan in charge of hell, you could be like, no, that contest is over now, assholes. I'm home.
No, I'm sorry. Hell isn't an authoritarian state. You can't get away with everything. Eventually.
I feel like it is.
Nope. Eventually, the bureaucracy is going to catch up to you.
There's also a very funny line from Lilith where Lucifer is like, where's Sabrina? And she says, she'll turn up. She usually does, which is great.
So many of these characters are existing in the show, but also like right next door to the show where they're just like, I don't know. Pay attention. She'll be here in a second. Don't change the channel. In this next scene, Sabrina is just like recapping shit to everybody else. And there's like, I know what we'll do. We'll bring in some cheerleaders.
Yep. This is her crazy plan. Ambrose and Prudence want Sabrina to siphon the power off the hedge witches. A lot of this episode, I do think, is continuing to double down on the idea that Sabrina is essentially good, because she turns down that idea, says, no, they came here, we can't kill them, and ultimately comes up the plan to create more energy by having a flash mob at the school, which we'll get to in a moment. But then we get the other path that's going on here, and I think we could talk through this one separately. Yeah. Zelda is in limbo. She's wandering through the Spellman house in limbo. She gets there, and I thought this was a really nice move. She encounters Hilda there.
Who's also in limbo.
This was really sweet. This whole flashback stuff was really awesome.
Yeah, it was great. And who shows up but Edward Spellman, Sabrina's father, who proceeds to reveal a bunch of information, including that he and his wife knew exactly what was going on with Lucifer. They made a deal there, but that's not why he's there. And he walks him through three scenes that they very quickly realize are to reveal how they can get out of this situation, how they can save the coven, how they can get the power. And I should have written down this part.
And this is like the Ghost of Christmas past, present, and future, right?
Kind of. It's the child, the mother, and the crone. Is that what it is, ultimately?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes.
And it's three phases of the moon that they see. Zelda is initially very confused because she thinks, wait, we just prayed to the hair moon. But the first, what was the first scene they see? I remember the second
one. It's when they're much younger.
That's right.
They're sort of all hanging out.
Yeah, it's Zelda and Father Blackwood. They're in the library at the school, and Father Blackwood rips a page out of a book and says, this isn't for women. And Zelda looks at it and sees the first phase of the moon.
He was an asshole even as a kid.
Yes. Once an asshole, always an asshole. Then the middle one is when Sabrina is delivered to him and her little baby blanket has a little moon on it. And the last one is Zelda as an old woman on her deathbed. Sabrina is there. Hilda is there. They're both in old age makeup. And they say she lived a wonderful life. The coven is all there for her. It is her time. She lived a long life and she saved them. And that's where she sees the three phases of the moon. And just as she wakes up, and we'll loop back to this, she wakes up, says, "I know how to save the coven." And then
the banshee's there, importantly.
Yes, the banshee.
Stop, Justin.
The banshee is there. It's important to mention.
And it's not important to mention. It has nothing to do with what's happening.
The banshee is the star.
She wakes up
and
goes, "I know how to stab them," and then, or "know how to stop them," and immediately gets stabbed in the chest.
Yes, and then what happens, Pete? What happens immediately after that? The banshee stops screaming.
Yep.
Yeah, who cares?
Stay tuned for part four.
Weird the chilling character.
The chilling adventures of some banshee.
Some Ooh. Random banshee. It's like the Watcher.
That would be great. You know what? They should bring the banshee on to Cheer. I think that would be good. They're probably going to do a season two of that, and that's a big hit. Just juice the ratings a little bit.
Juice them.
Juice.
So this is the first part.
Let's
really
jump
upsetting.
Back to where we were now that we've covered the Zelda and Hilda stuff. Roz and Sabrina talk briefly. Sabrina, as we mentioned, needs the Ravenettes. Do we know they were called the Ravenettes? I don't think they mentioned that earlier.
I did not know that.
Yeah. So the cheerleaders are called the Ravenettes. They're going to do a flash mob at the Church of Night.
They love doing flash mobs.
They tell them it's a multi-use performance space. And then we get
for performance art.
Yes. The absolute, such a funny, crazy scene that can only happen on the show, where the cheerleaders perform "Hey Mickey" in the middle of a stone circle as the coven is sitting on the floor with a bunch of creepy dolls that they're using to siphon the energy to save Hilda and Zelda.
One of which looks a lot like Laura Dern. Let me be honest.
That is fair. And they're just sitting there going, "Oh, da, 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 da," while the cheerleaders are dancing. I was laughing so hard. It was
so wild. Yeah. They kept cutting to Melvin, which that was weird. That was odd to me. Unnecessary.
They're going through great efforts to cut off every single character, but starting with a lot of the side characters, and it's kind of amazing that Melvin has survived this long.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Agreed. Yeah.
So then we get Pete, prepare yourself emotionally. The most devastating scene in the episode.
Well, we get there's a great line before that where they're all getting ready to do all this crazy shit. And Prudence is like, "Where is Dorcas? She is never around when we need her."
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then it turns out that the reason she's never around is because Dorcas is dead and her throat was ripped out, I think.
Oh, come on.
Yeah. And Agatha killed her.
Yeah, and Agatha's just laughing.
Here's the thing. A lot of people who are incredibly boring, it's hard to tell if they're alive or dead. So maybe she was just like getting ready to talk about something.
First off, how dare you, sir? Okay? Dorcas is dead. This is not the time for this kind of stuff. Show some respect.
I would trade either of my children for Dorcas.
Yeah.
What about you, Pete?
I would trade either of your children as well.
And you had naming and life rights to them. Again, I made some very bad decisions in the past. So whatever you want to do.
I would trade either of my co-hosts for Dorcas.
I don't know.
And you don't even like Dorcas.
There you go. Think about
that. That's what he's saying. So Blackwood is looking for another prize. And at which point we get the scavenger hunt. Lucifer and Lilith demand that Sabrina finds Judas's 30 piece of silver. Prudence and Ambrose tell her to do the challenge. And while she goes on the crest, that's where Edward reveals he and Diana made an appeal to the Dark Lord. Lucifer knows where Judas is. Oh, I think I missed something there. Yeah, sorry, I skipped by something. There's a crazy bunch of bamfing that goes on where Blackwood enters. He's about to attack them. They take the cheerleaders, send them back to high school. Roz is like, "Oh, you guys are just very tired. Don't even worry about it." She takes the entire coven to hell.
Because
like,
they've been draining their energy.
Right. They take the coven to hell. The coven is like, what are we doing? We're in hell now. Sabrina says, no big deal. I'm just going to go back and grab some dolls. She grabs the dolls, heads bound back. And then she's gone. So Lucifer knows where Judas is, tells her that Judas, Brutus, and Cassius are all there. And meanwhile, back on Earth, Mambo Marie tells them Zelda is safe. She'll keep her safe. Feels like a little something is bubbling up between Mambo Marie and Zelda a little bit. You guys getting that feeling?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Great. good to hear it. And Prudence and Ambrose head off after
Platinum. We don't know yet, man. I mean, it's, you know.
So Sabrina finds Judas. And as Pete mentioned, Judas is stuck in a wall.
Very big Han Solo vibes here.
Yes, except talking Han Solo, which would be kind of weird if he was talking outside of the carbonite, I think.
Yeah.
Nah, he should have had a couple lines.
Yeah.
If George Lucas had his way, Han Solo would have been chatting it up when he was in that car.
Oh, stop.
100%.
Stop.
So she asks him for the location of the 30 pieces of silver. In exchange, he offers water. He says there's an easy way and a hard way. And she says, easy way, please.
Great choice.
But I do think the water was a good tactic. You know, Sabrina just being like, what can you give me? You've got to be thirsty. You're practically a wall here.
Oh, yeah. When we talk about Judas, you know, the thirst is real.
That dude is thirsty.
So she finds out the easy way is she needs to betray somebody with a kiss. So she goes to kiss Harvey, and then Harvey immediately explains that he, yes, Pete, you have a question here or a point?
Well, I just really loved Sabrina in this moment because you could see her, you know, Harvey's talking and she is like kind of moved by Harvey. And there's points where you can tell like she's almost ready to just kiss him. But the fact that he is so passionate about how much he loves Roz, Sabrina won't do it. And I was so happy when she changed her mind and zapped back to Judas. So
now,
happy.
Do you think she did that because she loves Harvey too much?
Mm. Well, she cares about her friends and she doesn't want to stab Roz in the back just so she can get her gold pieces or silver pieces.
What I'm saying is it about Roz or is it about she doesn't want to put Harvey through that pain of betraying, of forcing him to do this?
I think it's the latter a little bit more. I think it's both things. She certainly doesn't want to hurt Roz, to Pete's point. But I do think she knows that if she kisses Harvey, it's over for both of them.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, the fact that she said you guys are endgame means that they most definitely are not endgame.
That's the kiss of death right there. You can't say people are endgame.
Just like on Riverdale when it's like Archie and Veronica keep saying they're endgame and we all know they're not.
Were you surprised? I'm just going to skip by that.
What the fuck?
Well, were you surprised though?
I can say whatever I want.
Veronica, were you surprised that Veronica didn't walk in? It was like, excuse me, that is copyright Veronica Luna.
Yeah, exactly.
That's sued a Veronica.
Sued the fuck out of her. I used all the witch money.
I appreciate the fact that there's some crossover here, but you can't just be taking things from our show and using them on your show because you feel like it.
That's my word. Mine.
No, I think that was the big Riverdale crossover we were all waiting for, just that one line.
I mean, if you think about it, we've gotten the big three from Riverdale.
Pops.
The Riverdale sign, Endgame, and The Woods.
Yep. All of our favorite parts of these shows.
Yeah. And people have been asking to see those maple trees since season one of Riverdale, and finally they came back here on Sabrina.
Sticky maple. Finally get that sticky maple.
Speaking of sticky sweet things, actually in a second, but Sabrina goes back. She finds out the hard way is confronting Vlad the Impaler. She's like, you mean Dracula? And he's like, no, Vlad the Impaler. But then back at human school, an announcement is made that the carnival has invited everybody to the
this scene.
That was the creepiest announcement of all time.
This scene, that moment was what I thought was the craziest part of the episode. The banshee. Totally cool when it's like, hey, fun announcement voice, Where the fucked up carnival's doing this big fucked up night, and we're all gonna die, probably.
Hey, everybody's invited to the fucked up carnival where a bunch of people died, turned into pigs, bunch of shit happened, but apparently no one talks to each
randomly.
Other. Yeah, but free caramel apples, everybody. Free caramel apples. What a weird specific thing where everybody's like, yes, everybody unequivocally loves caramel apples.
Truly the worst possible candy.
Oh, my God. Candy apples, way better. Harder, but much better.
What? No, that's not what anybody means. No one is like, I hate caramel apples. I love a rockier exterior to an apple.
You don't like candy apples better than caramel apples?
No, I don't like any apple covered in, like, paste.
Paste?
Wow.
It's not a paste.
Like a hardened substance. Just eat your apple, and then later eat your candy.
I don't know. They taste good together. I'm not saying caramel apples are bad. I'm just saying candy apples are better. And I do have problems.
You're drawing the finest line that no one in the world is drawing between. No one is making this call.
Well, anyway, Green Deal is fucking weird. I think we can all agree with that. Also, Theo, Harvey, and Roz do a great look where it's on the caramel apples where they're like, what the fuck is going on here?
What's happening? Yeah. And I'm looking at them too going, yeah, what the fuck is happening on your show, guys?
Right. And they all get called to the office. They see the carnies. They run to the library.
They literally, though, they're like, come to the office. There are prizes for you.
But to their credit, like,
prizes?
To their credit, they know that's not true. They're very
I'm so happy they didn't walk in going, where's our prize?
And then there's just a banshee there going, ah! So anyway, it turns out the Green Man is returning. The great flowering will begin, but Robin uses his super speed to get them out of
the speed
the
force.
Library. Also important to note, Carcosa and not Nagini, but whatever her actual name is, discover that Robin betrayed them.
Medusa.
Call him betrayer. Robin is freaked out, explains they have to go, and they decide they can use the magic marker that Sabrina gave Nick that they write to their palms on each other.
New hand, who dis?
Yes, to call Sabrina, clearly not understanding how this magic works.
Right.
No.
Okay, but hang on, we got to back up the truck a little bit. What was interesting was Robin, instead of just running away with them, stopped and revealed that he was the betrayer when he had Theo, which I was like, Robin, what the fuck are you doing, man?
But that's a nice hero moment.
Grab and run.
That's a nice Throbin moment.
Yeah, I think it comes down to Robin wants them to know that he is leaving them, not in a betrayal way,
I'm worried
but in a standing
about the double
up to
agent.
Them way. Yeah, he's
I'm
standing
worried
up
about
to
him
them.
Flipping back.
And I do think he's trying to show them, no, what you're doing is wrong. You're going to destroy all flesh on Earth. Maybe don't do that. Obviously, that doesn't turn them, but I think that's what's going on there.
There's a great moment when they find out they need Sabrina. And Roz is like, I know her locker number and combination. She's my best friend.
That was sweet.
Are you shipping Robrina? Is that what's going on? Rosbrina?
No, I guess I'm shipping the locker number and combination.
Oh, yeah. Me too.
Oh, yeah.
So Nick, of course, Nick and Sabrina very briefly chat. She gives a quick synopsis of what's going on to Nick, just recaps everything him. He's
doesn't
watching
care.
Dorian's bar. And he very pointedly digs into her and says, you're not a Spellman anymore. You're a Morningstar now. Which is pretty,
I mean, I'll tell you what, they have really savaged the Nick Scratch Sabrina relationship in just a matter of episodes.
I really thought that was like Blackwood or something. Like, I didn't think that was really Nick, because when he said that, I was like, what are you fucking doing right now, guy?
Yeah.
I got a sense from Gavin Leatherwood's performance that what he was playing was in recovery, trying to make amends. But the weird thing about the scene is halfway through, he just turns on her completely.
Yeah.
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 So I don't know.
He still hasn't gotten over his feelings, his intense feelings for
but then he's super nice when he gets the SOS and is like, hey, how can I help, what's up?
And I think that again points to he's trying to make amends for everything he did when he was taken over by Lucifer. Obviously it turns out poorly, but it'll be interesting to see what happens now that he's dead forever. So Sabrina, meanwhile, goes, finds Vlad, takes the silver, counts all of it. Vlad wakes up, tries to mesmerize her, explains Judas is the father of vampires, sucks her, and he freaks out because her blood is angel blood. She says, also, yeah. Consent, it's real, and then yeah. leaves. Classic.
That was a great line.
That was a great line. Robin, meanwhile, back on Earth, explains that the apples, the caramel apples that everybody loves to eat, will implant spores in everybody, follow the implantation, followed by an implantation. It'll take over the entire Earth. They get cornered by the pagans, and then...
They smell Harvey. They smell that virgin smell.
Yeah. He's the only virgin left, right?
And they're rolling deep in numbers.
Sabrina.
Yeah, right. But Sabrina's not there. She's confronting Vlad the Impaler and winning yes. stuff in hell, winning hell contests. Agatha, awful scene. I know we joke about the Weird Sisters a little bit, but Agatha reveals she killed Dorcas to Prudence. Prudence Ugh. Stabs Agatha, kills
With a
her.
Sick sword.
And then Blackwood stabs her, killing her. This was awful. Just awful yes. to watch. Yeah. So Brutal. Hard to watch. Very sad, too.
Yes. And this, yes, it was sad. It was brutal. It really, they did such a good job this episode making Blackwood, like, just so evil.
Mm-hmm.
Someone who is, like, has been a little bit goofy throughout the series, despite him being sort of the villain, a little bit like he makes so many mistakes. But in this, he was just meticulous and deadly.
Yeah. What were we going to say, Pete?
It's just so upsetting, all the death that's happening and all the people we're losing on the show. It's really fucking pissing me off, man.
It's crazy, I mean, that they had Dorcas, the most important character, die completely off screen.
Well, yeah. that's what raises the stakes. Because, you know, if they can kill Dorcas, they can kill anybody.
That's yeah. true. I guess that's true. She was really the canary in the coal mine here.
Yeah, canary in the devil mine, maybe.
Yep.
Prudence, though, when she died, it was so sweet. She, like, reached out her hand to touch Agatha.
Yeah.
Even in death, you know, they're keeping it weird.
And they... keeping it weird.
Yep. Classic Portland witch move.
And they...
but, man, Prudence was a badass with that sword. I'm really sad that she's dead.
Yeah.
And then they both reached out toward Dorcas. Not...
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, man. You're mean. Zelda, as we mentioned, also gets killed. Sabrina, then on top of everything else that's going on, Sabrina hands the coins over to Judas.
Oh, come
Bizarre,
on.
Bizarre.
Why would you do that?
This is the third time in a row. I'm just going to say that. The first time she took Herod's crown and she's like, here you go, Ambrose, do some experiments. I'm going to go do some cheerleading for a while.
Yeah.
The second time she got the bowl and she was like, no, we're going to take the bowl to the coven instead of bringing it to hell. This time she takes the bag of coins and is like, I'm going to hand it to the guy who wants it the most.
Well, first off,
known for being a traitor.
You don't count the coins there. You're just kind of counting the coins and then you get attacked. That was really dumb. Like, get away, then count the coins in a safe place.
There should be a coin counting spell.
Yeah. Yeah. She should go to one of those machines that are like a TD bank, and you have Coiny the Coin. It's like, hi, you have 30 pieces of silver.
Well, I think you're thinking of Clippy. You know, not the Coiny.
I think they're cousins.
Right.
Oh, okay.
Also,
they're weird cousins.
Pete, have you been taking your change and shoving it into Microsoft Word? Is that what's been going on?
Yep. Yeah.
Okay. It's a choice. So she hands the coins over to Judas, but it turns out it's actually Caliban. He switches places with her. She's now stuck in the mud. He goes back to hell and says, all hail King Caliban.
Wow. Great. And now I guess the show's about him.
Right.
He was so nice to her.
But ultimately, he wants to take over hell and then take over Earth. So, you know.
He's only nice when he's wearing his cool 70s t-shirt. When he's not wearing a shirt, he nasty.
Can't trust people made of clay.
Luckily, after Sabrina loses, that's the last bad thing that happens in the episode. Oh, just kidding. We go over to the carnival. Immediately, they already explain that Robin and Nick have been killed off screen. Roz and Theo are screaming, their mouths bound. Harvey is stuck in an enormous wicker man, green man sculpture. He's shirtless. He gets almost literally broken apart, screaming.
But a banshee in the background is the craziest thing that happened in this fucking episode.
Hold on. He gets broken apart and sucked into the Green Man, which releases pollen everywhere. Carcosa shouts that it's the end of all flesh. And everybody's screaming for Sabrina as she is trapped and sewn somewhere in the underworld. End of the episode.
Now, well, here's my last note for this episode was, damn, shit is very fucked up.
That is an accurate note. Pete.
This felt like at the end of a Choose Your Own Adventure when you chose the wrong chapter.
Yes, absolutely 100% what it's like. You're totally correct. Pete, what were you going to say?
I was screaming at my fucking screen because I was like, you can't fucking end it here. You can't just leave us like this. It's fucking ridiculous that you end an episode right there.
And again, this is the last ever episode. And they're taking all of the previous episodes off and shutting down Netflix, which is very sad.
It's just shame.
Yes.
Bold move.
Bold move. What are your, going into the final episode, what are your predictions? How are they going to get out of this predicament?
There's no way to get out of it. Everybody's dead. It's flesh is going to, everyone who's made of flesh dies. And then they're going to roll the credits and there's going to be a fucked up circus playing. And they're going to be like, yeah, thanks for wasting all your fucking time watching Sabrina suck at you assholes.
I don't know. I'm excited to see, to meet this Green Man. Maybe he's fun and funny and even a more fun main character than Sabrina.
We didn't mention the most fucked up thing that happened at the end of the episode, which is that nobody actually got any free caramel apples, as far as I can tell. Yeah. It was very upsetting.
Yeah, and I don't see any people from the school there. It just was the people that we knew.
Right. Maybe they edited it for time. They edited it for time. Speaking for time, we do have to start wrapping this up here. But before we go for this episode.
Well, real quick, we should say, I think we're going to get a reset and we're going to go back to a certain point, perhaps the beginning of this episode. And replay it out in the next episode.
So you think we're going to get some sort of
clue? Well, it's not like we have
a
time egg or anything that would help us do that.
Yeah, that is too bad that we don't have a time egg. Do you think it's going to be a clue type thing where they're like, or this could have happened?
Mm. Oh,
that would be fun.
This episode, only Which Witch Reigns Supreme. Pete, Which Witch Reigns Supreme?
So this is tough. I don't want to say this, but I do want to say it, okay? It's Sabrina, even though she made all these horrible decisions.
Wow.
And her friends were screaming her name and she wasn't there because she was off with old Clayface running around getting coins like a Mario brother. I think that she didn't
You
kiss
sound like
Harvey.
A raving old man.
Thank you. She didn't kiss Harvey and that made me so happy.
That's a good reason.
That's not end how I thought it would based on the beginning. Justin, what about you? MVP, most valuable primate of the episode.
I'm going to give it up to, I guess, the character that I think had the strongest performance and like really said a lot, the Banshee.
Great note.
What the fuck, man?
The Banshee left her mark. The Banshee showed up when we needed her to. She was an omen telling us what was up next and really left her mark on the episode.
Mm-hmm. I was going to go for the Banshee, but since you took that, I think I'm going to go with Dorcas, who really stepped up this episode, made an impact, and kicked off the whole thing. You know, we wouldn't have this show without Dorcas. She is the backbone. I don't know how they're going to go on. And if there is some sort of time egg shenanigans, I think the key to all of it is bringing Dorcas back to life.
Yeah, it would be amazing if Dorcas saves the day and then Prudence has to eat her saying that like she's never around when you need her.
I'm checking my notes right now, and it seems like the final episode of this season is called Dorcas Saves the Day. That's really interesting.
That sounds like a children's book you're trying to sell.
Well, if somebody wants to buy it, I'm not going to stop them. All right, we got one last episode, so stay tuned for that. If you'd like to support the show, patreon.com/comicbookclub. Also do a live show every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. at the People's Improv Theater Loft in New York. Come on by. We'll chat with you about Chilling Adventures of Sabrina. We don't have Sabrina social channels, but you can check us out at our Riverdale channels. Riverdale Dark on Twitter, Riverdale After on Instagram, Riverdale After Dark on Facebook, iTunes, Android, Spotify, Stitcher, or the app of your choice to listen to this podcast, comicbookclublive.com for this podcast and many more. Then we'll see you next time on the Chilling Adventures of Dorcas and the Banshee.
Oh, you fucking asshole.
That's the show I want to see.
Mother's Day is almost here, and you can get her the most beautiful time-tested gift around. A watch she can wear every day for Movement. Whether mom's into classic dress watches, rare and refined ceramics, or tried-and-true bestsellers, Movement has something she'll love. And right now, you can save big on the best Mother's Day gift ever with up to 50% off site-wide during Movement's Mother's Day sale at MVMT.com. Again, that's up to 50% off at MVMT.com.